This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Benjamin Franklin made this very interesting statement. He said, "The happy state of matrimony is undoubtedly the surest and most lasting foundation of comfort and love, the cause of all good and order in the world, and what alone preserves it from the utmost confusion." That's quite a statement coming from Benjamin Franklin. And today, I was waiting on the Lord with regard to what God's people need to hear today, what we really ought to talk about here on Viewpoint, something that would be encouraging, something that would be strengthening, something that would give us hope for the future and for this year. And he nudged me to talk about our marriages, to talk about our marriages. And so that's exactly what we're going to do here today on Viewpoint. I have in my hands a series of articles. These are cover stories of Time Magazine and Charisma Magazine and Christianity Today. Starting with Time, November of 2010. On the front cover is a picture of the backs of a married couple. Well, they're getting married, a bride and a groom, with these letters, these words in red. Who needs marriage? Who needs marriage? Now, that was in 2010, so that was 15 years ago. Then the next one was in 2011. This one came from a Christian magazine, Marriage Under Siege. Marriage Under Siege. How our long-held definition is being threatened by two unlikely partners, gay marriage and Christian infidelity. Infidelity. Then came Christianity Today 5 years ago. The cover story, Vanishing Vows. Can the church save what's left of marriage? Wow, what a dark picture that is. Can the church save what's left of marriage when the church itself is engaged in the breakdown of marriage and has been for the past 40 years? Wow. You see, we got a problem. And the problem is persisting even though the marriage or the divorce rate has diminished, the cohabitation rate has increased. And so in reality, we've got the same problem continuing today, except that so many are just not getting married, including professing Christians. What's going on? Is there any hope for marriage? And if marriage indeed is a picture, a prophetic picture of the relationship between Christ and his church, that great mystery the Apostle Paul talked about, where do we go from here? And so today, on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about the miracle of marriage, and we're going to talk about it in ways that hopefully will touch your heart, will encourage you in times like these. Everybody is stressed in different ways. We all have our stresses. Some people have new kids. Some people have older kids. Some people have no kids. Everything becomes a stressor for people in their marriages. And then also we have all kinds of other tensions coming upon us. And so today on Viewpoint, we're to take a look not at all the pain, not at all the problems out there, but we're going to keep our focus as much as possible on how to have a lasting love in our marriages. How to have a lasting love in our marriages. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, talk that transforms, and I trust that today will be no exception. We all need encouragement. My wife and I now have been married 58 and a half years. 58 and a half years. We kind of take our pulse every once in a while and say, is this really true? We've been married 58 and a half years because we remember exactly what it was like when we got married. We had gone together for 2 years, and we were young. My wife was 20 years old when she... She was 19, almost turning 20, when we got married, and I was 21. So I was of the ripe old age of 21, a real man experienced in the world, you see, and we were headed out into the never, never land of hope and promise of marriage. Well, when we got married, I sang to my wife right there in front of the congregation before declaring that we're married forever until death do us part. I sang to her the words of a very famous classical song. It's called Because. Because. So after Kathy made her processional down the aisle with her veil and her gown to the moment of marital promise, I sang to her my rendition of this musical classic. And the words actually remain precious to us. I saved that music to this very day, and it's filtered down through, well, close to six decades now of memories to this moment of our time when we every year make a recommitment. And here are the first words. Because God made you mine, I'll cherish you throughout our lives and for all eternity. A world, a brighter world of peace and joy I see because you come to me. Well, it wasn't always bright. Things didn't always look bright and peaceful, but we persisted through thick and thin, like so many other married couples, because marriage is not a game. Marriage is not just a bowl full of cherries all the time. Marriage requires a relationship, and relationships require work and faithfulness and commitment through all kinds of weather. We all stick together. But now, it's painfully clear that the prevailing winds of our time, not only in America, but globally, especially in the so-called Christian Western world, are not favorable to the sailing of the good ship marriage, as I like to put it. There's a tsunami of relational brokenness that swept across the North American continent, precipitated by an unprecedented moral and spiritual truth quake back there in the 1960s when we got married, 1966, decoupling marriage and family from their moral and spiritual foundations. And there have been unrelenting aftershocks, like with every earthquake, for, well, actually approximately three generations have devastatingly been fractured, not only of the family, but of faith itself. Yes, because our marriages are directly connected with our faith, our profession of our faith in Jesus Christ. Tom Mullen said this, happy marriages begin when we marry the ones we love, but they blossom when we love the ones we marry. But what does that mean? We'll talk about that here on Viewpoint today, and I hope that it's going to be encouraging to you here a week before Valentine's Day. We'll be right back with you after this break. Stay tuned, friends. Lasting love. We're going to share some enduring secrets for marital success right here on the program today. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. If we're really honest about it and see things from God's viewpoint or perspective, we know that marriage is, well, it's a miracle. It's a divine miracle. But the battle to preserve and protect and prosper this miracle of marriage as the divine design is unfortunately raging out there in our world. It's ripping to shreds the relational and social fabric of entire nations. It's preparing the way for godless governments to progressively usurp the role of father and family, and even promising to be the mother of us all. And in the midst of the fray, I still believe marriage remains a miracle of divine design, and I hope you do too. That's why my wife and I have felt compelled to present something called the motto to reinforce our marital foundation so that lasting love becomes a life message. So, years ago, many years ago, after quite a few years of marriage, the Lord put on my heart, I would say inspired me, to put together a motto. It was a simple motto that began to glue our marriage together in ways that became a continual anchor every single day, every week, every month, every year. We called it our marital motto. And I'm going to share that with you later on in the program today. But I want to set the stage for that, because that marital motto is so critically important that I actually created, had small printed versions of it put together and laminated and placed all over our home, in the bathroom and all over the home, so that frequently we would be reminded of this marital motto, continually to keep it before our eyes, because marriage matters. It matters to God, and it should matter to us. But the question is, how deeply does or should marriage matter to us in this broken and fallen world where it seems that self reigns supreme? The me, me, me generation. Now, everybody loves a mystery. Almost everybody, anyway. And God calls marriage a mystery. A great mystery, in fact. Mysteries are intended, I think, to be solved, to be discovered, to be revealed. And that's God's heart and desire for you, for me, for every one of us. He desires and intended that our marriages here on earth reflect and reveal his plan and his purposes for his glory. So your marriage and our marriage is intended to be and is the smallest unit of the church, believe it or not, a husband and a wife and the Holy Spirit. So for that reason, marriage has been referred to as holy matrimony. Holy matrimony. Now, we often think of the Holy Spirit in terms of a fire that keeps, it's the energy of our spiritual life. He gives us the revelation. He gives us the energy, just like appearing on the day of Pentecost in cloven tongues like as a fire. So a woman by the name of Fawn Weaver said this, keep the fire lit in your marriage and your life will be filled with warmth. Keep the fire lit in your marriage and your life will be filled with warmth. Well, our marriage together, Kathy and me, our marriage together has immeasurably greater import from God's viewpoint than just serving as the foundation for civilized society in our sphere. So does yours. Our marriage and yours is to make a holy declaration for eternity. We're married not only to each other, but betrothed to the master of all creation. And that's the big picture. That's why this is so important. And God says, no, what I've joined together, man must not put asunder. Our long, long time friend, Dr. James Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family, said this, marriage succeeds only as a lifetime commitment with no escape clauses. Marriage exceeds only as a lifetime commitment with no escape clauses. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, you've set yourself up for divorce. You've already set yourself up in your mind and in your heart for a breakdown, for a breakup. And divorce, believe it or not, is America's fulcrum spiritual issue. We may think that divorce, so I believe that divorce is to the church what abortion is to the nation. And everybody wants to rise up against abortion, but they don't realize that divorce is the biggest spiritual issue in the church today. And not only a spiritual issue, did you know that marriage is the single greatest factor in a secure economy? It's number one. And also, children who grow up in fragmented homes are 7 times more likely to live in poverty in adulthood. Also, far more likely to divorce. So you see, what we do, how we live out our marriages, is determining, it's a declaration for the future. It's setting the stage, setting the tone for what happens here and after. So all that having been said, I want to begin to share with you this special marriage motto. I believe this marriage motto is a key, and it would be a key for you to be strong, to persist, even if you think things aren't going well right now. Several studies have come out to say that staying in an unhappy marriage could be the best thing you ever did. That's right. Staying in an unhappy marriage could be the best thing you do. In fact, one study said that if you will stay in a marriage that you think is not worthy of staying in, that within 5 years, you will be so happy that you stayed in that marriage. A lot of people find that when their first kid comes along, it puts pressure on the marriage, and the husband starts to feel like he's been outplaced by the child and becomes somewhat jealous and so on. And there's a lot of truth to that. As a former trial lawyer, where 40% of my practice was in the area of family law, in the largest family law court in the nation, where 80% of my clientele came from the broader body of Christ out there in Los Angeles, California, what I discovered is that there are basically 3 different times, areas of marriage longevity in which divorce seems to rear its ugly head most commonly. The first is right around 8 years of marriage. 8 years of marriage. The next is somewhere around 18 years of marriage. And the next is outwards of, say, 30 plus years of marriage. And did you know that one of the most alarming statistics today is that the marriages of those over 50 years of age, the divorce rate has more than doubled. Can you imagine that? Why? What is going on? Is there a future to Christian marriage? I believe there is, but it all depends on us. So, we're going to take a look at that, and I think there's some answers, some hope for each one of us, and I suspect that you are interested in hope. Right? You're interested in hope. A wise physician once said that the best medicine for humans is love. So someone asked him, well, what if it doesn't work? And he smiled and said, then increase the dose. Increase the dose of love. Well, that's a very good recommendation. Richard Needham made this statement. You don't marry one person. You actually marry 3. The person you think they are, the person they are, and the person they become as a result of being married to you. Oh, wow, that's coming, the curveball coming right back at us. You don't marry one person. You marry 3. The person you think they are, the person they are, and the person they become as a result of being married to you. Okay, so let's start breaking down this marital motto. This is a very, very important thing, and it's very simple. It's very, very simple. Here it is. Are you ready? In an attitude of gratitude, we will, that is, husband and wife, we will consider one another, purposing daily to prefer one another, to pursue one another, to praise one another, to protect one another, and to pray for one another. There it is. Now you may think, oh, well, that's too simple. That's too Oh, you think it's that simple? Well, it is simple, but it's living it out that ain't that simple, right? We all have our theories. Yeah, we know that marriage is great. Marriage is good. It's ordained. God hates divorce and all that. The problem is we're not living it out. That's our problem, isn't it? It's always our problem. And so this motto is going to be very helpful, I believe, to help someone out there in the near future to have a much stronger marriage, to begin to rebuild, patch up the cracks, rebuild, strengthen the affections and the purpose and the vision for the future in your marriage. And I believe that joy, you see, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. And we all need joy, don't we? So here's what I want to do. To celebrate our 50th anniversary, my wife and I put together a small little book. It is it's a beautiful, beautiful little book. Padded. What a great book to have on your night table and so on. It's called Lasting Love, Enduring Secrets for Marital Success. It's a $14 book, and it's yours for $10. And here we are on the near edge of Valentine's Day, 2025. I believe this could well be the very best gift you could give to each other for this year. Lasting love can be a dream come true, but love requires more than a dream or those loving feelings that we so much desire. So, the book is yours. A $14 book, yours for $10, on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check and $6 for postage and handling. Gary Thomas, he wrote that very classic book called Sacred Marriage, and here's what he said about this book. In this small treasure, you will find a brilliant definition of love. You've probably heard about Gary Chapman, the author of the Five Love Languages and all of the successive books along that line. Gary Chapman endorsed this book, and he said, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. Jim Burns, author of Creating an Intimate Marriage, said, very inspiring, a message of hope and healing for an intimate marriage on every single page. Get your copy, Lasting Love, Enduring Secrets for Marital Success. You see, staying in an unhappy marriage can be the best thing you do. And we want to make sure that whether or not others are staying in their marriages, that we are. And that we're displaying, not intending it to be a continuing unhappy marriage, but to increase the joy of each one of us. My wife and I now, at 58 and a half years of marriage, look at each other and we say, this is the best season of our life. Yet after about 8 or 9 years, my wife came to me one day and she said, Chuck, I don't have any more feelings for you, and it scares me. She wasn't angry. Well, there were reasons why that happened. I was in law school for 4 years and working full time, and she was working and she was going to college. Where was the time for us to spend with one another? No wonder our relationship was suffering at that time. But we didn't give up, and neither should you. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
On our website, saveus.org, you will find a number of fact sheets. One actually is not a fact sheet per se. It is a seven-page outline of all the scriptures in order, logically oriented, what the Bible really says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. It's all right there. You don't have to go scouting around anywhere. It's all right there. And when I say all, I mean all. And you can go there. If somebody's having a struggle with what the Bible says, there it is, right there. It's not just jumping around in various proof text scriptures. It's putting it all together, what the Bible really says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Then also there are several fact sheets, ministry, marriage, and morals, and the sexual seduction of the union, and some of those other fact sheets there that can be very, very helpful to you in understanding where we really are as a people. But now we don't want to keep focusing on that. We want to focus on that which you and I can do. People want to know, well, okay, there's the problem. Now what do I do? What can I do? Well, the first thing that I can do is to be what I have to be. You see, to be what I must be is the first thing in doing what I must do. So, isn't it interesting that Jesus gave us the Beatitudes, the attitudes of being? That was the first thing on Jesus' mind, because he knew that if we weren't being what we ought to be, we wouldn't be doing what we ought to do. So we want to focus on our being and then on our doing, because our doing has to flow out of our being, right? So let's take a look at our marital model, which, by the way, is contained in our book, Lasting Love, Enduring Secrets for Marital Success. And then we flesh all of that out in practical ways and show that through our own life experience, what that looks like. And you see, Kathy and I have been involved in so much of this because from coast to coast, we have been involved, particularly me, because of my practice as a lawyer within the broader body of Christ for 20 years, and then also as a pastor for over 40 years. And my wife and I have been involved in counseling so many, many marriage couples, including pastors and their wives. You see, pastors and their wives have problems too, because they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like you do. In fact, over 70%, about 70% of the wives of America's pastors do not believe that they have a good marriage, do not believe that they have a happy marriage. And there's a reason, because they fail in the areas of this marital model. It's very simple. If we don't do what we must do, it reveals that we're not being what we must be. So let's talk about this. Let's get down to brass tacks, so to speak, here. And it begins with an attitude of gratitude. You see, Jesus, right there in the Sermon on the Mount, began his entire focus on the Christian life with our attitudes. The attitudes of being, that's why they're called the Beatitudes. Okay? So our attitude means everything. It's out of our attitudes that come our actions. The actions don't precede the attitudes. The attitudes birth the actions. And that's why Jesus could say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because it's the attitude of the heart that is producing the words that are coming out of the mouth. So if you've got a lot of problems in your marriage concerning the mouth, which a lot of marriages do, including what ours did, the problem starts in the heart. So one of the premier characteristics of our marriage early on, when we were so busy doing the things that we thought we needed to do to get ahead, so to speak, was a practice of sarcasm. Sarcasm became, what should we say, an art form in our communications. Until the Lord revealed to me one day, this is not godly. There's nothing about this form of communication that is good or godly. It's destructive. So sarcasm was weeded out gradually from our, shall we say, marital lingua franca. In other words, our language as we spoke. So this attitude of gratitude, remember the attitude. Now that's the important thing. The next part of the attitude is a certain kind of attitude called gratitude. It was about 30 years ago that, again, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, son, and I remember exactly how he did this, but it was like a grand revelation, gratitude. He said, son, you really don't understand gratitude and its importance. And after that, it's as if life began to open up in a whole new and fresh way. Gratitude. If I would show gratitude to my wife in the ways that I would hope she would show gratitude to me, things might change a lot. In fact, it might change my attitude toward a lot of other people too. Instead of looking at things negatively, I might begin to look at things more positively. And the more I look at things more positively, my attitude will change even the more so, and there'll be more gratitude that will flow from my life, and then it will be expressed in the words of my mouth, because they are going to come out of the gratitude, the grateful meditation of my heart. And you see how it works? This is how it works. An attitude of gratitude is the beginning. It's the foundation for the marital motto that will bring lasting love in your life. Now, out of that attitude of gratitude then comes these words. We will consider one another. Oh. In other words, we're not going to leave this to chance. We're not going to leave this to happenstance. We will. In other words, we're purposing in our minds and in our hearts to consider one another. How many marriages fall apart because they don't consider one another? They're always thinking about themselves. Reminds me of the big billboard that I saw, it's got to be 15, 20 years ago now, coming out of the Chicago O'Hare Airport. And it said, me, me, me. That's all it said on the billboard. Me, me, me. It was an expression of the spirit of our age. Why do you think we have what are called selfies? Because it's all about self. But marriage is not about self. Marriage is about you. And it's about me. It's about we together. We, a husband, a wife, and the Holy Spirit. We. In an attitude of gratitude, we will consider one another. In other words, we're going to take interest. We're going to concern ourselves with the welfare, with the health, with the feelings, with the hopes, with the dreams, all of those kinds of things, even the kinds of things that our spouse likes, the kind of food, the kind of clothes, the kind of actions, and so on. We will consider one another. And then purposing, purposing. In other words, we're not going to let it just happen. This is going to be a matter of action for us. It's going to corral my mind and my heart to do certain things every day, purposing daily to do 5 things. Now, would you like to know what those 5 things are? We listened to them a little bit ago in the program, but we're going to go through them one at a time. By the way, if we live out, if you and I live out this marital motto in our own marriages, we will then more effectively live out the responsibility that you and I have in the body of Christ itself. Because every single one of these things that we're going to learn through the marital motto, Jesus says, are necessary within the body of Christ. But we can't do these things in the body of Christ unless we're living them out in our marriages. So the marriage then becomes the very smallest microcosm of the church itself. So if I'm failing in my marriage, I'm failing in my ministry. If I'm failing in my marriage, I'm failing in my responsibilities to my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how it works. Does that make sense? The more you get into this, the more you're going to see how simple it is and yet how profound this is. I really believe that the Lord revealed this little motto to present hope to God's people for a time like this. The first of the 5 things that we need to do is to prefer one another. Remember what the Bible says concerning the church? In honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. Well, that's got to begin in our homes. How many marriages do you know that display anything remotely looking like that? Preferring one another. The Apostle Paul put it a little bit differently in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, each of you, husband and wife, in the fear of the Lord, this is how he begins, each of you, husband and wife, in the fear of the Lord, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto Christ. Now, do you not like that? Wives don't like that. They say, submit in this day and age? You've got to be kidding me. Well, you either want to see God's blessing in your marriage or you don't. You have to choose. If you're going to choose the way of the world, then that's what you're going to get. You're going to reap the ways of the world and all of the negative consequences. If you want the joy of the Lord and you want to see the fulfillment of that in your marriage, then you're going to do it God's way. And it also says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So you see, a husband's going to prefer his wife to love her the way Christ loved the church, and a wife's going to prefer her husband knowing that if she doesn't do that, she's not preferring him, and they're going to break apart. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Here on the program today on Viewpoint, we're talking about a viewpoint concerning our marriages. How to secure and increase lasting love by looking at some enduring secrets for marital success. It's all contained in a small little booklet, beautiful padded cover, the kind of thing you'd want to keep out on your table, on your nightstand, or whatever. Something that you can grab a hold of and look as a constant remembrance, a reminder to strengthen your marriage. It's a $14 book, yours for $10, on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can get it by calling us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. So the website, saveus.org, write to us, Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. Okay, now, because we're right here on the week eve, shall we say, of Valentine's Day, this would be a great, great gift that you could give to your marriage. It really would be. I can't imagine a greater gift you could give to your marriage. It's so simple, so encouraging, gives a vision for joy in your relationship and how to get there. So, we were talking about preferring one another. In an attitude of gratitude, we will consider one another, purposing daily, not purposing generally, purposing daily to prefer one another. The next is to pursue one another. To pursue one another. Isn't it interesting that the Bible gives us direction that we are supposed to seek after our brethren in the body of Christ? And we expect, we are led to believe that God is seeking after us. So why would we think that the bridegroom, Christ, would be seeking after us if we're not going to pursue him? In fact, God says in Malachi that earlier on in the Old Testament, he said, if you will seek after me, you will find me if you seek for me with your whole heart. In other words, if you pursue me with your whole heart, he says, I will be found of you, but you have to pursue me. Now, let's say that you followed away from him. He says, return unto me, and I'll return to you. In other words, pursue me. Well, guess what? When you went together, I dare say, guys, you pursued your wife. You did in ways, you had your ways to pursue her, and she had her ways, interestingly, maybe known only to her, that she pursued you. And in the process, you pursued one another, and the rest is history. You got married, right? My father used to say, I pursued my wife, I ran after and ran after until she caught me. So, in any event, we prefer one another and we pursue one another. What does it take to pursue your spouse? Well, you're going after them, but you're not going after them with all kinds of angry words. You're not going after them in criticism. You're going after them because you're trying to woo them. You're trying to win them. You're trying, just like you did when you got married. You didn't fall out of love. You just didn't do love. You didn't prefer one another. You didn't pursue one another. You didn't have an attitude of gratitude. You didn't consider one another. That's how you fell out of love. So you want to fall back in love? Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Don't deceive yourself. The third item of the marital motto is to praise one another. The Bible says that praise is very comely or good-looking on a person. Why would that be? Because praise is the antidote for complaining. You can't be belly aching around and grumpy all the time if you're praising your spouse. Right? You can't be complaining about God if you're praising him. That's why we're told over and over and over again in the scripture to praise the Lord. When you're praising the Lord, you're lifting him up above yourself. You're not in a complaining spirit. Did you know that the failure to praise the Lord and show gratitude kept almost 600,000 men, in other words, 599,998 men that God took out of Egypt with a mighty hand, kept them out of the promised land? Why? Because they murmured and complained. They didn't consider one another. They didn't have an attitude of gratitude toward God. They didn't prefer him. They didn't prefer one another. They didn't pursue one another, didn't pursue God. They didn't praise him. They bellyached and murmured and complained. And God says, you're out of here. I do not want that kind of person in my promised land. Wow. Maybe that's keeping you from the promised land of marriage. I mean, just thinking out loud with us all here, because we all live in this arena of the world in which marriage has fallen out of style, and people are trying to get the benefits of marriage by cohabitation. A lot of Christians are like that. They're not just trying to cohabit with their spouse, they're trying to cohabit with God. They don't want to marry him, they just want his benefits. And then they say they're Christians. Oh, let me tell you, friends, you would be shocked at how many people never, ever, ever have repented of their sin, never, ever, ever have confessed it and repented and turned from it. They've been told that they can seek the benefits of a relationship with the Lord by getting baptized without ever coming into the new birth of relationship with Christ. Some people say, well, you know, I don't need to go through that marriage thing. I don't need any ritual like that. What's a document have to do with it? What's a piece of paper have to do with it? Well, a piece of paper has everything to do with it because it's a declaration of intent. It's also a declaration of covenant. It's also a declaration of your vow. Oh, your vow. Your vow. Oh, wasn't it the angel who said, wasn't it the scripture says, better it is that you not vow than that you vow and not pay? And don't say before the angel, I just made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. You just changed your mind. You didn't want to keep your vow. It's pretty much as simple as that. You didn't want to keep your vow. You weren't willing to keep your vow. You are willing to engage in the world's view of marriage. Well, if I don't like this one, I can go on to the next one. And if I don't like the next one, I can go on to the next one. Like Larry King Live. What did he have, 7 marriages or something like that? The fourth item on the marital motto is to protect one another. A husband is to protect his wife, not just to protect her from physical danger, but to protect her also from emotional danger, to protect her from spiritual danger. There have been several times during our marriage when I've had to literally take a kind of authority, not meanly, but a kind of authority concerning some things that my wife was exposed to through friends who did not realize how off base they were, but they were sowing seeds into my wife's mind and heart that were not biblical, they were not godly, and I had to protect her. We want to protect our children. You really want to protect your children? Then stay married. That's the number one way to protect your children. Stay married. And then live out this motto so that they can see that you're living a godly marriage, that you have every intent. You're not perfect. None of us is perfect. When we err, we ask forgiveness. We go to before our spouse and before the Lord and say, this is what I did. This is what I didn't do. Please forgive me. Please, please, please forgive me. I am purposing to prefer you, to pursue you, to praise you, to protect you. And the last one is to pray for one another. To pray for one another. Before the broadcast today, I received a text from a long, long time listener to this program asking my wife and I to please pray for her. She says, I have some situations that are going on and I don't want to put them into words, but they're serious and please pray. So I texted back and I said, we will pray. So we're praying for one another in the body of Christ, right? We lift up one another. We carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The same is true in our marriages. Every single morning for the past 25, 30 years, in fulfilling this motto, my wife and I gather together, and if we're not together, let's suppose that I'm out of town for some reason, or she's out of town for some reason, we do it, we still do it. How do we do it? By cell phone. It's amazing. It's precious. We don't just pray for one another. We spend time in the Word together. We read the Word together. We apply it. We discuss it. We pray for one another. We pray for the situations that God puts in our minds and our hearts. And it unifies us every single day for the past, say, 30 years. Living out the marital motto, which helps us to live out our vows. In an attitude of gratitude, we will consider one another, purposing daily to prefer one another, to pursue one another, to praise one another, to protect one another, and to pray for one another. Now, here's what we did. In the back of the book, we have that marital motto printed out on one small page. So what you can do is take that and photocopy it, and you can laminate it, make numerous photocopies, put it around your house, on the mirror, in your bathrooms, wherever you go, in a drawer, whatever, at your desk, whatever, to remind you, because we all need reminding, don't we? We all need reminding. God says over and over in His Word, remember, 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 remember. It's like reminding yourself, reminding yourself. So you can do that. This is infinitely practical and encouraging. Love requires a willingness to die. Marriage, a willingness to live. You make the marital choice. God will help you make the necessary changes. Someone said, I went to God with a change list in my husband, and God, in His grace, forever changed me. Diane Sully said this, any fool can have a trophy wife, but it takes a real man to have a trophy marriage. So, there we have it, friends. There we have it. Lasting love. Enduring secrets for marital success. Right here, a week before Valentine's Day, what an opportunity to kind of refresh our relationships together, to be strong in the Lord. One author wrote a book called Love and Respect. Husbands are supposed to love their wives, but wives love their husbands. Why? Wives are supposed to respect and honor their husbands, but husbands honor and respect their wives. In other words, you do just the opposite of what God said to do. How about getting it right from God's perspective? Lasting love. Get the book right there on our website, saveus.org, Lasting Love. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Become a partner, friends. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Don't delay. Do it today. Let's keep pressing on. Be faithful to the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.